Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Our opening hour explores a side of Latino television outreach you don't hear much about in depth, English language and bilingual networks. LATV is a pioneer in that arena, and the two top executives there, Chief Executive Andres Palencia and President Bruno Cerros Ulla, join me next in an internet radio exclusive. MeToo, that's MITU TV, is the newest entry, starting 6 days ago. Joe Bernard, the Chief Revenue Officer of parent venture NGL MeToo, details what's ahead next half hour. Also ahead, the latest on the writer's strike, MTV's 2023 TV Awards, Amazon takes a syndication course, our new classic trivia question, and England's take on a popular U.S. game show is our show to know. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Block Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. I present an Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, the iRadio Podcast Network, and other leading podcast platforms. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Thank you for joining us on this Monday afternoon, starting a great new week, hopefully wherever you are. And wherever you are, we welcome you to the program about TV's current and future. First of three episodes we're doing this week, it is absolutely gorgeous. One of the 10 best days of the year so far here in the greater New York metro area. 74 degrees at the top of the hour. Some wonderful guests coming away over the next 90 minutes, and we invite you to be part of the program, as always. So get involved and give us a call. The number you use, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and TuneIn Radio. We've got a chat room business for you, so go ahead and use it. It's SimonApple04. You'll find it at the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the promo is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon that Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn screen. Follow those instructions, and other people can be live and interacting with you. Our duo from LATV join us live from Los Angeles after these news notes. As week one of the Writers Guild of America strike winds down, there's no sign of resuming talks on a new agreement with the alliance representing TV and movie producers. MTV's Movie and TV Awards last night was the latest TV venture impacted by the writers' walkout. What was supposed to be a live ceremony hosted by Drew Barrymore became a mashup of clips and Zoom acceptance speeches from winners. The event was pre-recorded and used voiceover narration to bridge sequences. As for the TV honors, a pair went to HBO's The Last of Us, Best Show, and Hero, played by Pedro Pascal. Another pair of trophies were accepted by Netflix for Stranger Things, Best Cast, and Breakthrough Performance from Joseph Quinn. The top TV performance award went to Jenna Ortega for Wednesday, another worldwide Netflix hit series. Incidentally, Barrymore, who promised that she will be at the MTV Movie and TV Awards next year, did win for Best Talk Show Host. There's a new player in the syndication TV business, Amazon. The idea? Open up an aftermarket on broadcast TV and other outlets for its first-run Prime Video and Freevee series and movies, as well as content from its MGM acquisition. Among the initial TV outposts are The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Hunters, Fargo, and The Handmaid's Tale. Now quickies, the reboot of former MTV tune Clone High will launch May 23rd. That's the first day of HBO Max's conversion to just Max. The Bear's second season is set to kick off June 22nd on Hulu. Prime Video will bring on Boots Riley-made mythical comedy series I'm a Virgo, June 23rd. Long-awaited Netflix miniseries Painkiller, which dramatized the opioid crisis, begins August 10th. Bravo's award-winning fashion competition Project Runway will return June 15th. This first-ever all-star season will get a second next-day run on Peacock. Oxygen's 2023-24 season will premiere five new series in the true crime genre. Three other series, Cold Justice, Final Moments, and Homicide for the Holidays, are coming back with new episodes. And American Dad marks its 350th original episode tonight on TBS. You can hear our episode for March with co-creator and executive producer Matt Whiteman at blogtalkradio.com/televised, along with our podcast and web platforms. And that is news notes for today. As mentioned at the top, we're devoting the opening hour to bilingual and English language networks aimed at the Hispanic Latino population in an arena that you don't hear a lot about on television or on programs like this. And that's because most of the time when people think of Hispanic television, they think of Spanish language networks and services like Univision, like Telemundo, Estrella Media, Canela TV, and so on and so forth, many of which we've had people from those services on this program over the 15 and a half years we've been in operation. The same thing with LATV. They were the first such network, English language and bilingual, with programming. It actually started as a regional service in Southern California, then graduated to national status. Joining us live to talk about LATV, which is going into its 17th year of operation, we have got the two top executives your way. They are Chief Executive Andres Palencia and President Bruno Cerros Ulla, joining us live from Los Angeles. Bienvenido, gentlemen. Welcome in.
Thank you, Simon. Good to be here. Thanks for having us. We're excited to chat.
It is a pleasure. And I think Andres, we've got, I think Bruno, we just missed him for a moment. Now we're going to get him on. Hang on for 1 second.
I'm
Bruno,
back.
You
I'm
there?
Back.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
no, I'm here. Sorry.
All right. And Andres, we'll start with you. What is LATV like now compared to when it started?
Well, I mean, it is. It's almost like a collection of other LATVs. It's a very similar mission that we started way back in the day. But I think finally, we have a greater public response to what we're doing, and we have a lot more of an audience that is excited and that expects to see themselves in media more. So I think that's the call we're answering today.
And what is that call, Bruno? What is the mandate for LATV these days?
So, yeah, you know, I think it all starts with our mission statement. We are the voices redefining Latino culture, which basically in many ways has to do with the growing American Latino population. You know, there's always from, you know, the beginning of the 70s, there's been Spanish language television in the U.S., but, you know, the rapid growth of the Hispanic market and the U.S. Latino market, who maybe speak Spanish at home but speak English with their friends, watch content on Hulu, Netflix in English, is not represented. And we get messages all the time from people like this who say, wow, you know, I've never seen myself on TV. I didn't know that other people felt this way. So we're really targeting this segment of the population who hasn't felt seen in general population, nor have they really felt seen in Spanish language television. So the mission is to, you know, represent that segment and to keep ideas flowing and make sure that people understand that Latino experience is more than just what you see on, you know, the networks you mentioned, Univision, Telemundo, and there's a lot more to it.
Mm-hmm. Andres, here at the New Fronts in New York City last Wednesday, both of you were on and you announced that you were going to have a bunch of new series coming your way this upcoming season starting this fall. First of all, what does the schedule look like? Secondly, is it going to be impacted by the writer's strike?
Yeah, so the new series are they're already most of it is already in either in pre-production or it's so deep in development that we're not necessarily too concerned about the writer's strike, but we definitely, you know, we want to support like any effort by creatives, especially because a lot of them represent our community who I think are making their voices heard and have very legitimate concerns about, you know, how they should be compensated or how they should be treated fairly in an industry that, you know, on one side of the table seems to be thriving, on the other seems like there's a lot of work to do still. But yeah, we have basically our approach is to create much more content that addresses the different issues and the different things that are important to the Latino community. So we emphasize, we have different series that focus on just Hispanic culture in kind of a general sense. That's our biggest sort of like content pillar. We have LGBTQ+ content, Afro-Latino content, and content for Latinas. And we're developing several series within each of these pillars, including under the culture umbrella, we have a new Gen Z driven show called Yumi and Joe, which is where you're going to get to see at the ground level of the Latinos actually making headway in Hollywood, kind of as they're getting their big break, as they're either reacting to it or just before their big break. We're getting to talk to them, you know, not about projects and promotion, but about their life and what it's like, to kind of give a real relatable roadmap to our audience. We're also going to be premiering in the fall Royalty, which is the first of its kind, a trans Latine talk show that'll be hosted by Queen Victoria, who's a major within the trans community, and every aspect of this is creatively conceived and executed by trans Latinas who, obviously, it's their moment to kind of you know, have a platform where they can give their perspective on not just on the, you know, the activist issues, but also on entertainment, on pop culture, on trends, on news, because we, you know, we believe that sometimes it's important to get the perspectives of different parts of the population on different general topics, because that's the way, when the conversation is about something we can all relate to, we start to relate to each other in a deeper sense. So that should give you an idea of kind of our approach going into the fall.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with the two top executives at LATV, that stands for Latino Alternative Television, out of Los Angeles, Andres Palencia. He is the chief executive officer, and Bruno Cerros Ulo, who is the president. And they're both with us live this half hour here on Tamapi Televised. We are just getting started with this Monday afternoon edition of the program All About TV's Current and Future. And we're delighted you are with us. Simon, I'm with you live from wherever you are. 74 degrees at the top of the hour here in the Big Apple. And we invite you to be part of the program. So make that call now, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonAppel04 by name. First of three episodes we're doing this week. We'll be back also on Wednesday and Friday this week, and we think on Wednesday we're going to have, it's looking very good, we're about to get it confirmed any moment, we hope to have the co-creators of the brand new Disney Plus series, The Muppets Mayhem, which premieres on Wednesday on Disney Plus, available on smart TV sets and smart devices. And we'll tell you about a big episode coming your way, either 90 minutes or 2 hours, on Friday in a little bit. So we hope to, if we can't confirm it by the end today with the Muppets Mayhem, we hope to have it for you on Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Bruno, I understand one of the other new shows is one dealing with the environment and sustainable living.
Yes, absolutely. You know, we think, especially living in California, it's kind of a hot-button topic these days. And La Verde Life basically gives you an opportunity to walk and talk with people in the community who are not seen, you know, in mainstream media, who aren't, you know, given a platform necessarily in ways that they should. So we have herbalists in Topanga. We have people working on climate change, basically all around the world, as well as small business entrepreneurs who are helping give back to their community while also creating more opportunities, you know, job-wise, and obviously the economy is fluctuating and uncertain. So really people from the ground roots giving back to the earth and back to their community, all with sort of an entrepreneurial spirit. We're excited about that one.
Mm-hmm. Of the other new shows that you're premiering, Andres, what is, let's say, the most unique or the most way out, offbeat?
Oh, that's a great question. I think I mean, somewhere between what we're doing with sports, which is Ganadoras, it's reinventing kind of the dialogue around sports from the female lens. So this is a series that it's not your typical sports show. You know, it's a little more in the tone of what is cool, what's going to matter to life. It will feel like a very exciting lifestyle show, and it'll give a much more personal take on sports, because we're in this moment where people want to know more about athletes breaking or what they're doing. It's the reason Ted Lasso is so big, or the Welcome to Wrexham. Like, we want to know the stories of the different athletes and how they got there, what their lives are like, what their reality is like, and what their future holds. And I think Ganadoras is kind of uniquely going to put us in a place to showcase that side of sports, which gives you a great window into culture.
I agree with Andres, and there's another show that sticks out in my head, which is called Head to Soul, and it's basically a show featuring celebrity makeup artist JC Camarillo, who has a large roster of celebrity talent who he works with, and he brings a few of his friends on each episode, and actually is a spiritual medium as well. So he basically tells their fortune while he does their makeup, and does sort of an internal as well as an external makeover, something like this I've never seen before. So we're excited about both Ganadoras and Head to Soul, because we feel like it's going to bring something fresh and brand new to all, you know, all people watching, but especially to the Latino community.
I was going back to Ganadoras for a second. The presentation on Wednesday made it sound like it was going to be focused, at least initially, about the Women's World Cup, which is coming up, of course, July and August this year in Australia and New Zealand, and maybe also the National Women's Soccer League. Are there plans to go beyond that, let's say, to focus on key Latinas in other sports, whether it is baseball or softball or lacrosse or pickleball or Olympic sports?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I don't know that we will have the most comprehensive coverage of pickleball, but the idea is that if it's relevant in sports, if it's happening now, and again, it's not exclusive to women's sports. So we're going to have coverage of the NBA, of the NFL season, of the Major League Baseball, and then both coverage of the men's and women's soccer leagues in the United States. So it's got a little bit of everything for everyone, but sprinkled in there, you'll see these profiles, especially we're probably going to start focusing just because there is no hard lens on Latina athletes. So when you see a cool profile piece or an exclusive interview or even an off-pitch moment, we're going to start with the women because we think they deserve the spotlight.
Bruno, what was the reaction from advertisers and ad agencies to your presentation last week? It was the first time that I believe the LATV has done a presentation like this since the pandemic.
Absolutely, it was. And, you know, the reaction's been unbelievable. We really feel seen in the marketplace. Every year we feel more and more seen, but I think this year is sort of a new leap that we've done in terms of just getting our name out there and for people to understand our mission. I actually had someone from IAB who works for the company come up to me and say, you know, I'm a first-generation Dominican, but I don't watch any of that Latino content that's out there, and you guys really spoke to me. Like, she wanted to get involved. She wanted to know how she could help. She wants to visit our studios. So, you know, even someone like that reaching out from IAB means a lot to us because, you know, that she's not even necessarily our target. She was just there working, and she really felt spoken to. So I think across the board, we feel like, hey, you know, we're doing what we've been doing, but I think people are starting to catch up and join in our mission, which feels amazing.
Earlier, Andres, you mentioned that there has been more of an effort in recent years by LATV to reach out to specific branches of the Latina community, the gay and lesbian community, the transgender community, Afro-Latinas, et cetera. What kind of feedback are you getting from those groups about not only their reaction to your programming right now, but also what would they like to see? What issues, what trends, what developments would they like to see in a full way?
Yeah, Simon, I think that's genuinely the motivating factor and kind of a great result of the journey that we've been on since for the past few years, which is we obviously started at a smaller scale. We've scaled up rapidly fast, but that kind of gives us that individual, like, back-to-back feedback. And it's for us, it's more, a lot of the feedback we get when we get it is, how can I be a part of it? Because I think people, when they watch our series, they feel like something is happening that they can be a part of in one way or another. So when we get response from an audience, it's less about, you know, there's a lot of media, there's some visibility, but a lot of times it feels like you're screaming at a poster. You're like, thank goodness. But what we've done a great job of fostering here, and it's because the people behind the cameras, in front of the cameras, even in, you know, upstairs, nowhere near the cameras, are part of the community. So it really does feel like a group effort with the right intention, and that's because we have the right people who they get to tell their own stories, but also they get to share their own perspective. So I think that's the most important thing, where it's like, it's less about documenting every experience, and it's more about just making sure that we're using our creativity, we're using our expertise. Bruno and I, everything we've done, this compact team that has worked really hard to grow something, we're trying to translate that to every part of the company so that we can build out really important content that reflects people's experience, but also gives them a chance to be seen in ways that you don't normally see, or you haven't historically seen, but you should see these perspectives. They should be front and center. It's ridiculous to me that there hasn't been an explicit effort to amplify Afro-Latino voices and let them take on the charge and create shows. And that's something we're extremely proud of. This Pride, we're doing Más Que Pride, which is a series that relates to queer creativity. So as a queer creative myself, that's where we go a little bit deeper than just showing up. It's trying to understand and give people different entryways, different perspectives to understand each other by understanding the different things that make us who we are. And in the case of Más Que Pride, it's all about artistic expression. So we're going to showcase that this Pride Month.
In a moment, we'll ask our LA TV pair what role scripted television, interactivity, and commerce television could have in their services future. We are speaking with the two key people behind LA TV. Andres Palencia, he is the chief executive officer, and Bruno Cerios Olola, he is the president. They're both with us live from LA this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Great you're with us as well. Simon Appel with you live from New York. 74 degrees coming to the bottom of the hour. We want to hear from you in our mini minutes with our twosome, so give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. We have a wonderful group of people coming your way on our Friday edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. First up, we will have another key executive in the world of Latino television. He has been all over the place. His name is Steve Mandela. He's one of the very best in the business. He's worked for Telemundo. He's worked for Univision. He is now the chief revenue and local media officer of Estrella Media, and we'll find out what his organization is coming up with this coming season and beyond. Plus, we'll also check out a service called Blavity. It's a television service and much more with the co-founder and chief operating officer, Jeff Nelson. And Reset from last Friday, we will have thoughts about the writer's strike and other things involving television's future with the chief executive officer behind-the-scenes company Brightline, Jackie Corbelli. That's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Andres, is there a role that LA TV can play either now or down the road for scripted television?
Absolutely. That's been in the back of our head and in our plans. And I think the we're hitting that threshold where we kind of see what big streamers can do with Latino content. And I think what's missing is having it originate in a Latino-owned or Latino-targeted kind of entity like ours. So as much as we are a distributor of content, a producer of content, we're also, we're curating and we're finding talent that could make a really, really heavy impact in Hollywood. So we want to make sure that we develop that. And as we grow bigger, we have to consider the greater media landscape, which is why we launched our fast channel strategy, which is going to have LA TV appear on some of the bigger streamers. And the way other avenues to that might be us developing and producing series that are made maybe exclusively for one of these streamers. And very likely the first of those series would be scripted probably mid to late next year.
Is that when you expect to have this fast channel up and going?
Oh, that should be up and going by, in the next couple months.
Be distributed on smart TV sets, smart devices, multi-channel bundles, I would assume.
Exactly. Yeah. We want to help diversify the definition of like what is content for Latinos and their friends on major streamers, so that they get. We make sure they get English, they get Spanish, but they also get something that looks and feels a little more like this this generation.
Mm-hmm. Bruno, two of the arenas that really got a lot of focus up and down the new fronts last week, no matter whether you were at Amazon or Samsung or the big stage that you were at along with others this past Wednesday, was interactive television, particularly interactive advertising and commerce. The ability for people at home to order products and services with their voice remote, maybe with their body language, through the television set, not going to use a second screen, not going to use a QR code, just all done in one place, in one sitting or standing, and in one arena. What's the outlook for LA TV getting involved with either interactive programming or interactive and commerce advertising?
Yeah, so basically, you know, interactive, obviously the world's changing rapidly, and so our digital presence is rapidly growing. We're constantly innovating, and we sort of want to be the touch point for, you know, the first place people go for the Latino experience, almost like the way people think of MTV for music. We want to be that for Latinos. So we are absolutely getting involved with AR right now. We're not sure about VR yet, but we're kind of figuring out how all of it fits into our programming. And with the launch of our brand new LA TV Plus app, we'll have plenty of opportunities to plug everyone right in, no matter what screen you're using. You can just plug in. And we're also developing click-through marketplaces. So definitely a lot of innovation coming out. And these click-through marketplaces will be powered by our content and innovation partners. So basically a lot of ways for brands to plug in. And blue chip, you know, a lot of blue chip brands that have come out now, they're sort of understanding more what our presence means in the marketplace and giving us a lot bigger opportunities than ever before. So I think along with that innovation, we're going to see a lot of support and continued support from our blue chip advertisers who have been incredible so far.
Mm-hmm. Andres, before we wrap, how do you see this environment for English language and bilingual programming or channels from here? We're going to be having the next half hour, Me Too TV, which is the latest example of what you're doing, which is which premiered last Tuesday night with a big event before the your new front event in New York. There's Nuestra TV, which is also doing some English language programming. How do you see this Latino TV side of things growing in the months and years ahead?
I mean, I think it is sad that you can name on a list the number of companies that are doing something in the realm of what we're doing. Just if you just look at the growing size of the audience, the growing power of it, there's studies that point to how much more effective advertising is when it's culturally nuanced or when it's within culturally nuanced program. And I think the audiences are a lot more willing to look under the hood and to see, you know, how things are run, who's in charge, how almost like how authentic and how genuine and how committed different media outlets are. So I think the more that this conversation evolves, the more that the industry as a whole is gonna need more LA TVs, more Me Toos, or more versions of us within the greater sphere. And the talent pool that is out there to make this happen it's enormous, and it's still fairly untapped. We have some of the most, I think some of the most exciting things happening between content and consumer and media are happening in this space in particular. And that's because of necessity, and there's, you know, where there's a demand, there's going to be innovation. So, yeah.
LATV, that's for Latino Alternative Television, is now running, depending on where you are, on cable, on multicast, through smart TV sets, smart TV devices, and multi-channel bundles, with a separate FAST channel, a free ad-supported television service, coming your way in the months ahead. I believe LATV.com is the website that people can find out more information about what you're doing, correct?
It is, yeah. Come visit, check out video, read an article, and celebrate our culture.
And definitely
again,
download the app, LA TV Plus. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And LATV.com for all the details. I'm Andres Palencia, Bruno Cerros Ulla. Thank you both very much for coming on the program. It has been a delight having you on. Let's stay in touch about what you're up to. We would love to have some of your new shows come on this fall and beyond. We would love to have your producers come on our program. It is a terrific treat to have them on, and a terrific pleasure to have you both on. All the very best.
Thank you, Simon.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Take care. Muchas gracias.
All right. Take care.
Andres Palencia, Bruno Cerros Ulla, joining us live from Los Angeles. This first half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. When we come back, the latest television service featuring English language and bilingual programming aimed at Latinos. It's Me Too TV. Joe Bernard, the chief revenue officer of the parent company, NGL Me Too, will join me from New Jersey. Plus, coming up, our classic trivia question of the week, brand new question, brand new prizes, our show to know, a long-running British version of a long-running U.S. game show, which in some ways does the game U.S. game show one better or two. We'll talk about that. That's all coming your way from pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You listen to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tune.com. Together, we're reaching over 80 million listeners around the world every month and growing. But don't forget, BTR is your home for the Hilltop Radio Show, one of the most unique musical shows in all of radio. The Hilltop Radio Show happens tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. More importantly, YouTube is more available now on smart TV sets, devices, and a multi-channel bundle near you. Welcome back to the second half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised, 90 edition coming your way this Monday afternoon, first of three this week. Simon Appel with you live from New Haven, New York, 75 degrees at the bottom of the hour. Happy to have you with us. More good guests coming your way in the half hour ahead, and we invite you to be part of the program. Get interactive with our guests with a call at 646-652-2906 or use the chat room, Simon Appel 04, my name. Last Tuesday night, one of the latest new television services, and certainly the latest in terms of showcasing Latino programming in English and bilingually, went on the air. It's called Me Too TV. It is currently running on Apple TV, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, other smart TV sets and devices and multi-channel bundles. And joining us live from NGL Me Too, that is the organization co-founded by the great actor and entrepreneur John Leguizamo that put Me Too TV together. And before that, the very popular website of same name, Joe Bernard, the Chief Revenue Officer. Joe, welcome in.
Hey, Simon. Thank you for having me. Appreciate being on the show.
And great to have you with us from the Garden State, New Jersey.
That's right, the wonderful Garden State where everybody can park.
Well, your new enterprise, Joe, Me Too TV, is now in day six, getting ready to wrap up first week. How's it been going so far?
Simon, you know, we can't be more thrilled than the reaction we've received about both the launch of Me Too TV and frankly, the overwhelming response to the new merged company that is NGL and Me Too together that creates the NGL Me Too company, to which Me Too TV is one of the first platforms being born of the merger. Lots of curiosity around the content, lots of interest around how we're going to make a go at this, and frankly, a lot of clients and advertising agencies who represent those clients calling and emailing and asking for follow-up meetings, discussions, and further wanting to know more.
When John Leguizamo went up to that podium at Jazz and Lincoln Center, I should say the shops at Columbus Circle, excuse me, where Jazz Lincoln Center is, get the ball rolling on Me Too TV. He made it very, very clear that this was a very special moment for both Latino television and TV overall. I'm sure you share that thought, and why?
Well, I think you got to understand that the foundation of the company was always built on both connecting advertisers to audiences, but to do it in a fresher and different way. And one of the big differences is being able to showcase content and talent that is, you know, of the culture. And, you know, John, as you know, and many of you out in your listening audience know, John has been a huge proponent for representation and equality for Hispanics in all forms of art. You know, of course, he's a film actor, so in many cases he wants to see more representation in film and behind the film. Obviously in television and in the theater space where he first came to prominence, you know, so much of his success came from him showcasing this entire universe of Latinidad, of Hispanic American culture that wasn't really seen anywhere else. And, you know, Me Too TV promised to do more of the same, to be able to showcase stories that are not necessarily told among some of the traditional tenets of Hispanic media, to do it by individuals who understand this culture and marketplace because they are of it, and then to be able to sort of share it with the world at large. And so that's what's so important. That's what's a monumental moment about Me Too TV, is that it aims to really fill in avoid in content and programming for individuals who say, I don't find myself on the existing platforms. And frankly, it's a lot of work to find themselves across all the platforms, right? There's so many individuals who are doing great things, but they're all scattered about the digital world. MeToo TV aims to consolidate some of that energy and put it in one place, and hopefully we'll get enough people to react to that.
Mm-hmm. I understand that the initial format is a mix of original programming that you produced at the studio space of MeToo TV in East Los Angeles, about 14,000 square foot studio, some of which has been adapted from what was on MeToo, the website, in terms of series, including video podcasts. You also have English language and bilingual movies, as well as short films, short subjects by promising talent. What's been the reaction to the schedule so far?
Well, again, I think a lot of people really, really like it. They like the idea that there are films that are being, you know, produced, directed, and starring, you know, Hispanics that are telling more than just a traversing land and sea story of coming to America. They're telling more organic stories of what it means to be a Hispanic in the U.S., which includes, you know, love and romance. It includes, you know, overcoming challenges in sports and business. It includes all those type of stories that you don't often see, you know, within the Hispanic culture. The original content we're producing, some of which is born out of the footprint of MeToo, that has been a successful digital content platform for 11 years. So we've got a little bit of, I guess, test and learn examples of content that's been working in the social space that we're now going to expand upon. And then, of course, because we have the facility, we're now able to produce even more content born of that understanding, born of that experience, and be able to tell new, fresher, different stories. Simon, in the voice of the in the voice of the marketplace, as the voice is sounded now, right? This is sort of the best way to describe it, is that people who are Latinos are going to be able to hear other Latinos that look like them and sound like them, and have the same points of view on topics like them. And that is what I think is exciting, where more and more Latinos are going to be able to see themselves on the content that we produce.
MeToo TV, that's MITU TV, is the newest Latino network featuring English language and bilingual programming. It is now available since this past Tuesday on Apple TV, on Fire TV, on Roku, as well as various other smart TV sets, device, and multi-channel bundles. We're speaking with Joe Bernard. He's the Chief Revenue Officer of the parent company of MeToo TV, that's NGL, that stands for New Generation Latino, MeToo. And he joins us live from New Jersey this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. We're happy you're joining both of us as well. Simon Avon with you live from New York, across the pond, across the Hudson River, from where Joe is. 75 degrees, the bottom of the hour. Let's hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. In case you just joined us, this is the first of three programs this week of the program All About TV's Current and Future. We're back with you on Wednesday, same hour, 3:30 specific. We hope to have the co-creators of the new Disney Plus series, The Muppets Mayhem. That's the Muppets new series. It is also premiering on Wednesday. So we hope to have the co-creators with us. That's Wednesday, 3:30 Eastern, noon Pacific, here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And we have a big 90-minute, two-hour show coming your way on Friday. And our guest on Friday will be one of the long-running executives in the world of Latino television, Steve Mandela, formerly of Univision, formerly of Telemundo, now Chief Revenue and Local Media Officer of Estrella Media. He will be our lead guest. Plus, we will have the co-founder and Chief Operating Officer of Blavity, which, among other things, does Blavity TV, Jeff Nelson. And we'll talk about the writer's strike and the future of television with the Chief Executive Officer, one of the top behind-the-scenes companies in television, Brightline, Jackie Corbelli, reset from last Friday. It's all coming your way Friday, 3:30 Eastern Pacific here on Tomorrow Be Televised. You have some very interesting original shows off the bat, Joe. For example, one of them is a game show called Spill the Chismy. Talk about that and how it got created.
Spill the Chief. Well, we all know the word chisme. Chisme is obviously a sort of Spanish word for sort of gossip, right? So it's really a fun game show / kind of talk show, where a number of different talents that we've signed on are talking about, you know, different stories that they're hearing either by way of the internet or different stories that they're hearing by way of the Me Too social community. Again, there's about 13 million, you know, active fans of Me Too. And some of the chief myths, some of those stories, those gossip stories that we're going to be talking about and hearing about, you know, are going to be sort of crowdsourced. It's not the type of stuff that you're going to see all the time on network news. It's not the stuff that you're going to see on TMZ. Think of it. How often does TMZ even cover anything that's going on in the Latin space? Almost never. And for that audience who's not also watching some of the traditional Spanish networks, Hispanic story content, chisme, gossip, you know, what's going on with my stars isn't really there. So, like, for example, you know, Tekashi 6ix9ine, you know, that's an individual who's in the music space that people follow. He's a lightning rod of interest is the best way to describe him. And, you know, folks like that aren't always covered all the time in either one of the media sources, but might matter to the Me Too community, and therefore there'll be discussions around that. So, again, it'll be content that aligns and mirrors with the audience differently and, frankly, more in line with how people are following stories today.
Mm-hmm. Two of your series off the bat are adaptations of Me Too video podcasts. One is called 3 G's in a Pod, and the other is Girl, Let Me Tell You, which comes out of a certain subsection of Me Too called Fierce, which has been around for a while, which deals with topics and subject matter specifically for women, specifically for Latinas. What was it like to adapt both of those video podcasts to be a TV series?
You know, we love, first off, the Girl, Let Me Tell You, there's a lot of love for that program internally. Right, as you mentioned, it is sort of born out of a sub-segment of the Me Too platform called Fierce, which right now, Girl, Let Me Tell You, is going to become the flagship program to help underscore a large development of the Fierce idea from being a sub-channel on Me Too to now being almost a standalone, you know, site and destination all for Latinas of all shapes, colors, sizes, and language proficiencies. And when you look at the demo and you look at some of the episodes of Girl, Let Me Tell You, you know, what you hear, again, is Latinas being Latinas, but in their own strength, in their own power, in their own funny comedic way. We actually hired a couple of great talents who are equal parts strong as they are funny, right? One of them, Glory, is a stand-up comedian. So, you know, she's got great material on being a Hispanic female, being a female, and bringing that together to share points of view that are both, you know, honest and organic to what it means to be a Latina in the United States, but also equally funny. So we're really excited about that particular program because it's really going to give, you know, this new Latina its proper voice. 3 G's in a Pod is an adaptation of a program that we used to have called Latinos Talk. Very similar in that format. Latino Talk was a popular format on Me Too that was leveraged both by advertisers and the audience in terms of hearing Hispanics give their point of view on different issues that are going on in America. Not a political show in any way, but definitely, you know, Latinos have a brain and a point of view. And, you know, that point of view isn't solely on, you know, limited topics such as just immigration or just, you know, what's happening in other parts of the world that are the home bases of Latinos here. You know, there's points of view on everything, what's going on with the debt ceiling, what's going on with, you know, Kanye. And so Latinos Talk would have that sort of positioning there. So we again, all of the programs aim to both resemble and look like the audience out loud and also come from, you know, experience points of success from the Me Too universe initially. So we're excited about both programs.
Mm-hmm. We were talking with the pair from LATV about trying to put scripted television on the air. I believe one of your shows is either scripted or semi-scripted off the bat called Me Too Office, which in the clip that was shown at your opening night event last Tuesday sort of looks like a parody of the Office using Me Too's actual offices in Los Angeles.
Yeah. You know, we've all been there where we said, man, if only there was a camera filming the crazy stuff that happens in our office, it would be a show. in our case, we have the ability to actually do it. And so we decided to, you know, put cameras inward so that people can see both the inner workings of what it's like to run a media and entertainment business. And then, of course, you know, there'll be some scripted components to it that are fun and light and funny. For sure, scripted is a destination that we aim to hit and achieve. There's a lot of conversations going on right now about what a phase two and a phase three programming slate would look like. And, of course, you know, we look forward to getting to a place where we're doing, you know, things that are either fully scripted or semi-scripted, and as well as working with a number of third-party organizations and individuals who may very well have ideas for scripted content or produce scripted content, but who don't have a destination or home for that scripted content, right? The best way I could describe it to you, Simon, and to all the listeners out there is that there's a great episode of I Love Lucy where Lucy doesn't have anybody celebrating her birthday, and she gets upset at Fred and Ethel and her husband. And then she storms out, and basically she goes out and she finds her new friends, and she comes back to the apartment with a whole new slew of friends, and there's a marching band, and the marching band drummer has a sign that says friend to the friendless, right? And in many ways, we think that Me Too TV could be the friend to the friendless, can be the outlet for all these creators who either individually couldn't get things, you know, done in other places or felt that those homes weren't the right homes, or whose network aspirations turned a different way because someone didn't understand or recognize or value the proposition of the content. We think that we could be that home for these people, and we're already seeing, even that night on Tuesday night last week, a number of people who raised their hands and said, I have a project, I have this, this is something I'd love to bring to you. And we think that, you know, over time we'll be able to curate a good amount of that content to create an even greater programming slate that once again underpins the whole proposition of creating a programming service that aims to showcase the full complement of what it means to be a Hispanic in America versus what's currently available.
For people who know their television history, because you mentioned I Love Lucy, of course that was the show with Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz. Desi Arnaz probably being the first Hispanic TV entrepreneur, and of course created Desi Lou, which in the 50s and early 60s was the largest or one of the largest independent television series makers. Not only shows that they produced and created, but also it was a home for a lot of other TV shows to be filmed.
Star Trek,
you know,
was
when
one
people
of them.
See credits filmed by Desi Lou, that was, you know, Desi's and Lucy's production company that made that happen. So it sounds like, you know, Me Too TV wants to be, in a way, the our generation's version of Desi Lou, or this TV environment's version of Desi Lou.
It's interesting, you know, we often make that comparison, or sorry, we always use that example of the friends of the friendless based upon that episode, but in many cases, right, we stand on the shoulders of what Desi built, you know, years and years ago, and John, his success also sort of, you know, stems from that, and you know, we definitely believe that we want to be able to pay it forward and extend a hand to the next generation of creators to help them grow and help them realize their dream of getting their content and their point of view across. And, you know, Simon, we've built an incredible company here over the last combined, you know, 13 years on NGL, 11 with Me Too. Now the two forces coming together create an all-new, stronger business that not only serves advertisers with incredible scale and precision of targeting and advertising, but we're really starting to move into, you know, producing content and developing content that really aims to, you know, showcase the power of this audience in the way they've always wanted to be showcased, right? I mean, you know, there have been several attempts over the last 20 years to try to do this, but, you know, we think the time is right. We're the right company. The way we're going about connecting audiences to advertisers and to content is probably one of the better ways of doing it, and we're seeing the results of it already in a lot of aspects of our business, and we're trying to apply it now to the Me Too TV programming service. And we only hope that, you know, doing this call with you first and foremost generates a few more fans and followers and certainly that you, with all the different people you connect to, help spread the word of the opportunity that exists with Me Too TV and the greater NGO Me Too.
That's why we're here, and we appreciate the fact you're on, and we appreciate the fact that that so close to the launch of the network, we're able to spotlight it, and that's what we're all about here on Tomorrow Be Televised in a major way. How do we expand diversity on both sides of the camera? We're speaking with Joe Bernard. He is the Chief Revenue Officer of the parent company of Me Too TV, that is NGL Latino. Me Too TV started past Tuesday, going into its second week tomorrow, and it's available on Amazon Fire TV, on Roku, Apple TV, that's the device, and it's also available coming soon to other smart TV sets and devices and multi-channel bundles. And Bernard joins us live from New Jersey this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Great that you are with us. Simon Alvin with you live from Nueva York, where it's 75 degrees coming toward the top of the hour. And if you have a question or comment, meeting this with Joe Bernard, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And for those of you that didn't catch the New Fronts here in person in Nueva York last week, you can check out my coverage of those events at MediaVillage.com. It's MediaVillage.com. That's the website that I write for, the media development website. And leadership website, too. A lot of great, and while you're there, check out the Multicultural TV Talk by my good friend and colleague Juan Ayala, who's been on this program. He does a lot of great stuff covering the world of diversity on television, both in front of and behind the camera. Great guests every week. That's the Multicultural TV Talk podcast with Juan Ayala. Comes your way at MediaVillage.com. It's www.MediaVillage.com. And you can see me on Wednesday and every week on Sports News Wire. That's the Sports News Information Program. Every day at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on Sports Grid Network. Available on smart TV sets and devices, multi-channel bundles, including Amazon Freevee. And starting this summer, a unique Spanish language version of Sports Grid will be coming your way in various places. So tune in for that. I'll be on Wednesday between 11 and noon. That's Wednesday, 11 and noon on Sports Grid Network's daily show, Sports News Wire. Check it out if you haven't already. It's really, really fun and a great watch and listen to every weekday morning. Joe, how are things going in terms of lining up advertising for Me Too TV?
Yeah, well, we already have one sponsor who's already committed to the platform just before launch. We have an early charter position with the folks at Anheuser-Busch, which has been an exciting partnership already. And then outside of that, we've got a number of clients who, as we now enter into the upfront cycle, are all asking questions and talking to us about working with us as they start making their, you know, they're placing their bets on content and programming and distributors, you know, through the summer for the upfront. So we feel, you know, the timing couldn't be better, right? We did our presentation. We already have, you know, an anchor tenant. We've got a few other smaller guys who are running right now. And then we're, you know, setting ourselves up to have discussions in the upfront cycle for, you know, fourth quarter and beyond. So we're very excited about the prospects of it. And again, because our business is more than just Me Too TV, right? We have an incredible distribution digital video platform. We have, you know, Me Too itself, which is the number one social platform. You know, all of this gets bundled together into a proposition of connectivity of brand to audience across social, digital video, now CTV, OTT, and of course what we do with our display platform as well. So we're very excited about the prospect, and our sales teams are out right now talking to either holding companies or individual advertisers directly to figure out pathways to get them on Me Too TV and everything else, and then figure out, you know, in certain cases, custom content opportunities, branded content opportunities, and certainly any other special opportunities that exist moving forward to the fourth quarter, especially with Hispanic Heritage Month, you know, falling into the Q4 window. We think there'll be a lot of participation around that time.
As mentioned before, Joe, we've got a lot of conversation and some action in terms of interactive advertising, interactive content, and also commerce ads, or commerce content, where people can order products and services, their television set with their voice, or their voice control using Siri, Google Assistant, Alexa, other audio features in the television set rather than a separate speaker because of artificial intelligence capabilities and software in those products. Any thoughts about commerce, given the fact that we're going to see very soon things like Amazon with ads for Prime Video, maybe Freevee, Also, the Roku project, Action Ads, and other things too on various smart TV sets and devices.
Yeah. So the answer is emphatically yes. There's been a lot of discussion around commercial or commerce ads being placed on Meetu TV. The irony of it is that we've always had opportunities and capabilities to do that before we even had Meetu TV, and it was sort of always, you know, one of those scenarios where we had a wave of allowing advertisers to run with special ad units that allowed for transactions, but we never actually had the platform, right? And now we have both. And so what we want to do is get this thing on its feet, which it is, and let it run for a little while, and then we'll start introducing those components as soon as possible so that we can be in the mix with everybody else. So, yeah, absolutely, we're going to do that.
Mm-hmm. Going back to John Leguizamo, I know that his upcoming PBS series, American Historia, will run on Meetu TV following the PBS run. Is he looking at maybe doing something original for Meetu TV?
Yeah, we've had a lot of discussions with John about different ideas. There's one that's sort of percolating above more than everything else, and you know, we're working through it. As a matter of fact, there's a meeting this week with John to talk about that one particular idea. But, you know, John's been very interested in doing a lot of different things. You know, not every project that he has is a film opportunity or a Broadway play opportunity. And so Meetu TV gives him an outlet to explore some of these other ideas that have been percolating in his head for a while. So, yeah, you should probably see something in the early part of next year that he's involved in. But to your point, American Historia, which is a three-part series of John analyzing the historical contributions of Hispanics in America, that's scheduled to launch during Hispanic Heritage Month in September. It's a partnership that we have with the folks at PBS, and that'll be the first thing that works with them and then also works with us. And then hopefully we'll be able to build more with him as soon as that project is done.
Joe, before we close this half hour up, you've been part of the Hispanic TV scene for years. Where do you think it's going? Where do you think this side of things, English language, bilingual programming, is going, as well as the overall marketplace? It seems that there's more players than ever. There's more approaches than ever. There's certainly more opportunities, things like getting into video commerce, doing interactive programming. Who knows how artificial intelligence will impact the field. What's your sense about where we go from here?
Sure. So, you know, you're right. I've been part of the media business for over 30 years, and a lot of that work has been done in the English language, bilingual side of things. You know, in the early years, it was a very difficult premise to get people to, you know, rally around, because, you know, Spanish language and Spanish dominant was such the stronger business case. And in many cases, in order to reach, you know, Hispanics who were not English dominant, who were not Spanish dominant or bilingual, the feeling was that the proposition would cost too much in order to do that. Then the internet and social and digital video came around, and you could see that you didn't have to spend as much money in order to grab people's attention, and ultimately, right, the whole world changed where, you know, 30-second, 2-minute pieces of content were, you know, garnering as much attention and driving as much scale as anything you would produce with, you know, any major Hollywood producer. So I think it's an arms race right now, because now everyone pretty much understands that this is a universe that isn't collected anywhere, right? It's not a universe you find on Telemundo and Univision or Estrella. And to find them anywhere else is a lot of work, because you have to string it together, right? And who's got the time, energy, and even the budgets to go buy 45, 65 different outlets in order to aggregate as many English language or bilingual Hispanics? It's very hard to do that. So our proposition is that we're going to string together some of them by having enough content that appeals to them, born of them, produced by them, and that if we can get there, you know, the first person or the first few people through the door are the ones who are going to have some form of significance and scale and media impact. And we think with the combination of the historical connectivity of the audience with Me Too, the distribution and scale that NGL has, and frankly, the most prominent voice for representation in John Leguizamo, we have the right mixture of elements to make this thing a successful enterprise and to do it in a way that's credible and has authenticity, right? There's a lot of people who are just like the gold rush and they're running in there, and you could kind of tell who's doing it for the sake of the gold rush and who's doing it for the sake of really wanting to do it right and wanting to do it, you know, with respect and honor to the audience. And I think we immediately garner a lot of that attention because of who we are. Even to your point, I've been doing this for a long time. I didn't just swoop into this marketplace 2 years ago, 3 years ago to do it. Those things matter, and I think they tend to get communicated through, and the audience tends to follow. So, you know, I think that's what will end up happening. The technology will always be there. You can't run away from it. You just use the technology to help improve both targeting, connectivity, and distribution. But fundamentally, if you've got the right mixture of content coming from the right place, I think that'll carry us forward, and we're looking forward to seeing that.
One more thing you can't run away from. This is a growing population. Depending on who you read or the research firm you use, it's anywhere right now, from 62 million to 64, 65 million Latinos in the United States. That does not include, repeat, does not include the illegal immigrant population as well. So, again, this is a marketplace, along with Asian Americans, other multicultural audiences, et cetera, that is only going to grow in times ahead. Again, the service is Me Too TV. Is currently available on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, and Apple TV sets and devices, coming to other smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles near you. For all details about the service, here's where you go online, MeToo.TV. That's MeToo.TV. Joe Bernard, Chief Revenue Officer of the parent company, NGL. Me Too, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on the launch last week, and onward, upward, and greater from here.
Thank you, Simon, and thank you to all the listeners. We appreciate your love and support.
You're very welcome, Joe. All the greatest. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye, guys.
Joe Bernard joining us live from New Jersey this half hour and change here on Tomorrow Be Televised. When we come back, our new classic trivia question and our new prizes in play, which, by the way, came off the new front. Plus, we'll have our next show to know. It's the British version, a long-running version of a long-running U.S. game show that in some ways is better than the format adopted. And we'll also have an update on the writer's strike, including a response from the Alliance of Motion Picture and TV Producers, and a heads up about how the situation may impact future episodes in the short term of this program. All coming up as we pause after the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, streamer.com, and tune.com. Together, reaching over 80 million listeners around the world every month and growing. If you love Star Trek, which incidentally was one of the last original TV series produced by Desilu, check out Trek Talking. Latest episode happens today at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 p.m. Pacific. All about Star Trek and where that franchise is going. That's Trek Talking today, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. Don't forget, Best Beats are always available 24/7 on YouTube, which is now more and ever available on smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles near you. Welcome back to our final half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised. First of three coming our way this week on a beautiful Monday afternoon in New York City, 75 degrees, and we welcome those of you joining us after the top of the hour. Simon, I'm with you live from New York. You came in just in time. We got our classic trivia question coming up, brand new question, brand new prizes, our new show to know, and as I said before the break, we have a response to the writer's strike situation from the Alliance of Motion Picture and TV Producers. So all that coming your way. And a heads up about how the writer's strike may, if it is not resolved soon, impact future short-term episodes of this very program, and others too. Right now, time for our new classic trivia question segment. We're going for our second weekly winner in a row, our third and fourth weeks. And if you are first with the correct answer, and we got some wonderful prizes for you, courtesy of the Interactive Ad Bureau New Front pack that everybody got at that wonderful Wednesday event that we just talked about over the last hour. We have a Starbucks rewards card. That's right, a Starbucks rewards card coming your way if you're first with the correct answer, courtesy of one of the exhibitors, the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation. Plus, remember we had the segment about Canela Kids and their wonderful new animated series, Super Ellis, which instantly has been renewed for a second season. It's all about inspiring kids based on wonderful celebrities like Nelly and Frida Kahlo and Rita Moreno and Selena, many, many other wonderful Latinos, Latinas past and present and future. Well, Super Ellis is now a coloring book, and we will offer that along with wonderful coloring crayons for the small fry. All that could be yours if you know the answer to this question. Who played the Rebel on the ABC Western series The Rebel, which ran from 1959 to 1961? Yes, that is the Western series with the theme song performed by Johnny Cash. Who played the Rebel on the ABC Western saga The Rebel? Incidentally, you can see episodes now on YouTube. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and your mailing address. If you're first with the correct answer, you win those prizes. And if we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter, UBC Simon, TWBT. One more time, here's our new question. Who played the Rebel on the ABC Western series, The Rebel? It ran from 1959 to 1961 on ABC, and it was also famous for the theme song performed by Johnny Cash. If you know the answer, go ahead and email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. If you don't know the answer, check out YouTube, because episodes of The Rebel are there waiting for you to see and then to respond to. Again, it's simonapple04@yahoo.com. If you first get the correct answer, you'll win our prizes, the Starbucks reward card, the Canela Kids Super Elias coloring book, and special coloring crayons. So in order to win, you got to play in. Do so, and all the very best. Now time for another regular feature, our Show to Know. We have a program that is worth your while to watch, and you might not know about it because it's not well promoted or marketed or publicized along the way, or it's not getting the radar screen job from TV critics and journalists. Often on this program, we have a Show to Know that involves a classic television program that we think runs on YouTube and is worth your while to see there. And in this case, it is the long-running British adaptation of a long-running game show here in the United States that in some ways does the U.S. game show one of two things better. That game is Family Fortunes. It is the British version of Family Feud running on independent television channels since the early 1980s in one edition or another. The first edition was from 1980 to 83, and the host was one of the most popular British game show and comedians and hosts around, Bob Monkhouse. I really believe that if Bob Monkhouse did this show in the United States on Family Feud, he would be sort of that version's Richard Dawson. He does it very well. He's very funny, always opens every show with a monologue. The families are marvelous. You know the idea of Family Feud. Two families battle it out to try to find out what's the most popular answer to surveys of 100 people. Monkhouse played the game very well. It was great with the contestants. Had a wonderful opening monologue that always left the audience in stitches. And in the second season, Family Fortunes did something new that, frankly, the folks at Fremantle and the U.S. Family Feud version hosted by Stephen Harvey should maybe try to adopt in the coming season. One of two things. The first, have prizes that are tied to specific answers. So if you've got a specific answer to a question, you won that prize. You individually won that prize. The prizes, by the way, were anything from a refrigerator to a video cassette player to a trip to a British countryside, et cetera, et cetera. Then the show was hosted by Les Dennis, a comedian and actor like Monkhouse, and he made the show his own. Wonderful host, did great with the families, and then Family Fortunes introduced a second element in the Fast Money round, and it goes like this. If you win Fast Money, you get the top cash prize, which at that time was first £3,000 and then £5,000. However, if you got the top five answers on the board, that means the top answer to each of the questions, you won a car. That's right, a car. Or in later seasons of the show, you had a choice of two prizes to play for in Fast Money: the car, or a trip that you could have up to 12 people in to different corners of the world. As it turns out, most people in the episodes I've seen picked the car. It's a wonderful version of Family Feud, and I think Fremantle should, again, adopt that element into the Fast Money round. I think it would make Fast Money even better, and I think the idea of having individual prizes tied to individual answers in the main game would also, I think, really help the version with Steve Harvey even better. When Dennis was done with the series in 2002, Vernon Kay took over for a celebrity edition. You might say it's the celebrity version of Celebrity Family Feud, All-Star Family Fortunes. Vernon was wonderful with the celebrities. They did some nice segments about the families themselves and the comedian or acting talent, whoever involved. The show ran from 2006 to 2015. Again, they had the individual prizes for individual contestants in the family. Plus, if you won fast money, you won $10,000 for your charity. If you got the top five answers, that went to $30,000 for your charity. Really nice idea. One of the better celebrity game shows I have seen anywhere, U.S., Australia, anywhere in the world. I believe Family Fortunes is currently in a new edition, prime time or daytime, with a different host and different situations. And, of course, also what I think I like about the questions is the questions are solid, they're familiar, they're understandable, there's no, like, double entendre questions like the Steve Harvey version. So this is a show that's even better for family viewing at the current time. You can catch Family Fortune episodes, some of the Monk House episodes, the Last Dennis episodes, and the All-Star Edition with Vernon Kay on YouTube, available, on, of course, on the web, also on smart TV sets, smart device, and multi-channel bundles. YouTube.com is where you go. And I really invite you to see this. Family Fortunes, whatever version you see, I think you're going to be fantastically entertained. And again, the Fremantle, definitely check these episodes out because you ought to adopt both the individual prize in the main game for answers and the top five answer deal in Fast Money to get either a car or a trip or another great prize. So Fremantle, think about that. I think you would make the long, great run of Family Feud, which now, by the way, is over a decade with Steve Harvey. Can you believe this? Even greater in times to come. And if you have an idea for a show to know, is there a TV show you like that you think deserves attention? Well, we'd like to give it the attention here on Tomorrow Be Televised, and we need to hear from you. So again, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. And if we use your suggestion on the program, you, that's right, you out there, get the credit. So we have to hear from you. So again, it's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Let us know your name, where you're from, give us details about the show, why we should highlight it. And if we use your suggestion, you, of course, get the credit. And we like that. So give us a go. You never know. We may have your suggestion be next as our next show to know. On our last episode Friday afternoon, we told you that we were going to, over the weekend, get in contact with both the Writers Guild of America and the Alliance of Motion Picture and TV Producers and invite them to come on this program to discuss the situation with the writer's strike, which today is wrapping up its first week. Well, of the two organizations, we heard almost immediately after I sent out the email from a spokesperson for the Alliance of Motion Picture and TV Producers. They declined our request to be on the program. They did not want to negotiate the situation in public. However, they did send us a position paper that they came out with this past Thursday, which point by point deals with the various issues that the Writers Guild is dealing with when it comes to why they decided to go on strike. I want to read a bunch of these things with you, particularly four of them. The first thing, and by the way, I'm going to do this verbatim. They've allowed us to do so. And the first part is mandatory staffing and duration of employment. So here's what the Alliance of Motion Picture TV Producers have to say about that side of the situation. And I quote, "The WGA's set of demands include proposals regarding mandatory staffing and guarantees of employment. These proposals require studios to staff a show with a certain number of writers who will be hired for a specific period of time that may not align with the creative process. If writing needs to be done, writers are hired. But these proposals require the employment of writers whether they're needed for the creative process or not. While the WGA has argued that the proposal is necessary to preserve the writers' room, that's in their language, it is in reality a hiring quota that is incompatible with the creative nature of our industry. We don't agree with applying a one-size-fits-all solution to shows that are unique and different in their approach to creative staffing. Some writers are the sole voice of a show, and others work with only a small team. WGA's proposals would preclude that." Another hot issue is the idea of residuals from streaming, from mega content services like Netflix, Prime Video, Apple TV+, HBO Max, soon to be Max, and so on. Here's what the Alliance has to say about that. "In the most recent contract, which was made in 2020, the WGA negotiated a 46% increase in residuals for streaming programs to take effect starting in 2022. In many cases, writers have only recently begun to see these increases in their paychecks. Under the current formula for a one-hour series produced for Netflix or Amazon Prime Video, a writer receives $72,000 in residuals for one episode over 3 years. Over 5 years, that amount grows to $99,000 and then to $114,000 over 7 years. The company's most recent offer further improves on these amounts. The biggest issue that the writers have, at least from what we're hearing in published stories, is that the writers feel that given the environment of the times now and what's to come, they will feel like either their tenure is at stake as full-time writers, or they will ultimately be rendered obsolete. I mentioned on Friday an example of what we're talking about, the Obsolete Man episode, The Twilight Zone. They call this working under a gig economy. So here's what the Alliance has to say about that. The WGA claims that companies are treating television writers' jobs as if they were part of a gig economy. But employment as a writer has almost nothing in common with standard gigs jobs. For one thing, most TV writers are employed on a weekly or episodic basis with a guarantee of a specific number of weeks or episodes. It's not uncommon for writers to be guaranteed all episodes produced. Plus, writing jobs come with substantial fringe benefits that are far superior to what many full-time employees receive for working an entire year, including employer-paid health care, employer-paid contributions into a pension plan, and eligibility for a paid parental leave program. Now, the other big deal with this is artificial intelligence. And as I said on Friday, one of the big stories out of the New Fronts last week here in New York was Interactive Ad Bureau Chief Executive David Cohen, at every chance he could get, saying, basically, artificial intelligence is ultimately going to be a very important factor in how content and advertising is created and produced. Again, for the writers' side, their feeling is we have to deal with artificial intelligence now rather than have it blow up in our face or the producer's face or the services' face or the production company's face or the media organization's face. We have to deal with it now because we don't want to be rendered obsolete. Here's what the Alliance has to say about that topic. And I quote again, "We're creative companies and we value the work of creatives. The best stories are original, insightful, and often come from people's own experiences. AI raises hard, important creative and legal questions for everyone. For example, writers want to be able to use this technology as part of their creative process without changing how credits are determined, which is complicated given AI material can't be copyrighted. So it's something that requires a lot more discussion, which we're committed and we've committed to doing. Also, it's important to note that the current WA agreement already defines a writer to exclude any, I quote, corporate or impersonal purveyor, unquote, of literary material, meaning that only a person can be considered a writer and enjoy the terms and conditions of the basic agreement. For example, AI-generated material would not be eligible for writing credit." So again, this is excerpts from the position paper that was delivered to the press this past Thursday by the Alliance of Motion Picture and TV Producers. Now my thoughts. I'm happy that the Alliance did respond to my request. I'm sorry that they have taken the position that they will not be on this program in person or on other programs. I think it's a mistake on their part. It's not great to see an organization hide behind press releases or behind position papers. Not when the other side of the story, the Writers Guild, is on the picket line day after day trying to get their story out. In the same token, the Writers Guild, I think, is making a big mistake by having this edict of, if you are a member and you have an upcoming TV series coming on the air soon, you can't support that series. You can't use that event or that screening to make the case for your cause. Great example, Series Fest in Denver. Series Fest, which is now in its third of 5 days, had to cancel all of its post-event screenings regarding individual television shows. Why? Because the actors, the producers, and the executive producers, and the writers, creators, who are all involved one way or the other, either in the guild or supporting the Writers Guild, backed out. So that whole situation was yanked. The screenings happened, the post panels did not, unless they had an executive from various services like Starz or other services or mega content, basic cable, pay cable, broadcast, et cetera, et cetera. I think this is a bad move by the writers. So I think both, there's like a pax on both houses here, and I really hope that both sides will reverse their calls, especially the Writers Guild, because guess what? I want to give you a heads up. There's a very good chance that because of what is going on and because of this edict, that it is going to become very, very difficult for us to get creators and executive producers and showrunners of various shows coming up, in spite of their upcoming premiere dates, to come on this program. Not only our program, but TV's Top 5 from The Hollywood Reporter and other podcasts and so forth covering television. In fact, The Hollywood Reporter announced on Friday on TV's Top 5 that they're dropping their showrunner spotlight segment, and they're going to do a segment called Strike Zone, where Leslie Goldberg, the co-host of TV's Top 5, West Coast TV editor, The Hollywood Reporter, is going to go on the picket line to try to get the Writers Guild side of the story from writers, show creators, show producers, movie creators, et cetera, et cetera. I think that's unfortunate, again, by the Writers Guild. I think it's a bad call by them. It's a bad call by the Alliance not to be on programs like this to alert the American public of your side. We're not asking you to negotiate on the program. We're not going for that. We do want to hear what you have to say in person. And to hide behind a picket line, in the case of the writers, or to hide behind a press release or a position paper by the Alliance does not do good. And it certainly is not good in terms of trying to get you both back to the bargaining table. As I mentioned on Friday, it's my feeling that anything, any kind of situation can be handled in communication. And that process starts with whatever you have to say, whatever you have to deal with, goes out of that brain, out of that mouth, out in the open, in public, where you can deal with it. People cannot read minds for the most part. Some can, like John Edwards or James Van Prague, et cetera, in certain circumstances. The majority of the American public cannot. However, when we hear you in person, or even in position paper, at least we have some idea of where you're at and where you may want to go. And then you take that whole situation and then take it to the bargaining table. I really hope that both sides will get to that bargaining table, lickety-split, and let's work this out. I believe it can be worked out. There is an area for common ground. And frankly, I don't want to see our show or other programming be victims, or events like Series Fest, or upcoming events like the Upfronts here in New York next week, or the Tribeca Film Festival, which also is TV. I'd hate to see them not repeat, be impacted by what is going on now with this writer's strike. And I totally get the positions. I totally get where people are coming from. Again, I appreciate the Alliance for responding to my request, and at the very least, giving us something to work with that we can share with all of you, our listeners. We will keep you posted on what's going on again, but I do want to give you the heads up that be prepared that we may have less show creators and showrunners dealing with programs that are coming up in the near future until this strike is settled. We will do our very best to have people. We will try to get executive producers from these shows that are not Writers Guild members to come on the program. We will try to find other ways to do it. If we have to get executives from new services or services to come on, we'll do it that way. And we will certainly keep you all in the loop. And, of course, we will continue to cover the writer's strike. And, again, if anybody from the Writers Guild would like to come on this program, they are welcome. If anybody from the Alliance would like to reverse their call and come on the program and discuss the situation, not negotiate, but discuss the situation and the impact on you, the viewer, we deeply appreciate it. And we're open at any time to do that. I want to thank all of our guests for being here today and all of you for tuning in. And that's just the first of our three episodes this week on Tomorrow Be Televised. Coming your way on Wednesday, we are expecting to have, keep your fingers crossed, the co-creators of The Muppets Mayhem that premieres Wednesday on Disney Plus. And then on Friday, we have a 90-minute, possibly two-hour show in store for you. Definitely on board, we will have Steve Mandela, the Chief Revenue and Local Media Officer of Estrella Media, as our lead guest, plus the co-founder and chief operating officer of Blavity and Blavity Television, Jeff Nelson, and from Brightline, one of the top behind-the-scenes television organizations, chief executive officer Jackie Corbelli. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, very simple way to do it, go into our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And anytime you like, check out our podcasts. They're available 24/7 on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, Acast, Odyssey, formerly CBS Radio, and other great podcast sites. And by the way, Thursday is the podcast upfront from the Interactive Ad Bureau here in New York. We'll be there to cover Media Village, and we're also going to try to talk to some of the podcast organizations, current and future, that are not taking our show that we hope to have them take us in the very near future. We love hearing from you. We really appreciate you tuning in every week. whether it's twice a week or three times a week or just once, whatever you do, we appreciate you coming aboard, and we even more appreciate what you have to say about our program, our guests, and the topics we cover. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Or find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Facebook and LinkedIn, Simon Applebaum. Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. However you get in communication with us, we get back in communication with you within 24 hours. That's our promise to you. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants. They are not those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager. Jay Sonnenberg is head of content. Website supervised by On Podium, the Internet's great podcast outpost. Guitarist Vegas is our web coordinator. We televise. I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful rest of your week. We'll be on Sports Newswire Wednesday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on Sports Grid Network, available on smart TV sets and multi-channel bundles, device, other devices as well. And then we'll be back here with another edition of Tomorrow We Televise, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio, and all of our podcasts and web destinations, including our major web destination, tomorrowbetelevised.com, powered by On Podium. Whatever you're doing between now and then, make it safe, and please make it great, especially on beautiful days like this here in New York and elsewhere around these United States and around the world. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.